B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
All right, final hour here. Gasper and Murray. No Murray today. Arcan sitting in the big chair. John Hambone on the headlines. Tucker Silva taking your phone calls at 617-779-0985. We've been pretty much all football here for the last 2 hours. The Dolphins, I'm just seeing right now, have reached an injury settlement with tight end Dwayne Allen. So anybody who is real excited about a Dwayne Allen return to New England, you can probably cross that off the list, as he's having an injury settlement now with the Dolphins. The Jadeveon Clowney deal to the Seahawks, pretty good deal for them. And, of course, LeSean McCoy getting released, some other big headlines there. No major headlines from the Patriots, unless you're a big Gunnar Olszewski fan or a big John Skipper or Nick Thurman fan. You saw them get a wave today, but other than that, pretty much everything going about how we thought it would as we get closer to the, what is it, the 4 o'clock deadline? Is that when they have
yes,
to have it down
four,
by?
It's 4 o'clock,
okay.
Yes.
So any big surprises, we'll let you know about that. In the meantime, I wanted to touch on a couple other topics here. Number one being the Red Sox. The 15-inning game last night, I feel like we need to at least mention this. They did beat the Angels 7-6. Mookie Betts leading off the game with a home run and then ending the game with a home run. We call that a sandwich dong, okay?
Is that what we landed on.
Okay. Bookend dong, a little, I don't know, a little highfalutin. I think
okay,
dong sandwich, I think, is better.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if that's better.
I think it is.
Oof,
I'm going with dong
sure.
sandwich. I'm in the one chair. I get to decide.
Okay, all
dong
right.
sandwich.
Double
yeah,
dong Friday night? No. Or,
well, yeah. Okay. I mean, it was into Saturday morning, though, so, you know.
I like really sandwich. I like sandwich dong better than dong sandwich.
Why?
I just do.
You don't like what dong sandwich makes you think of?
Yeah, exactly. The imagery, I think, is just a little better the other way. But it's like your part. Wait, hold on, though. Your part, you know, you are a key contributor on the night show. So
right.
you get to decide. It's you and Jones. It's your bit.
Ultimately, Jones gets to decide. But yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm going to pitch the dong sandwich pretty hard.
Damn, so you've been relegated to cattle's territory already?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I don't know. It's always been the Adam Jones show. When Keefe was there, when cattle's was there, now with me there, like he... And maybe there's something to that. The fact that he cycles through co-hosts so often that maybe it's just
a
like,
good point.
Why have to keep changing the marquee if we can just call it the Adam Jones show? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Might be that sort of thing.
So you're kind of saying like Jones is kind of like the George Steinbrenner of like hosts.
Kind
of. He just cycles through like, you know, update people / co-hosts.
It's true. And producers. Although that kind of comes with the territory on the night show. But yeah, I mean, between him and Zolak... They've both sort of rotated their way through a couple of co-hosts before they got to where they are now, which I'd say is, you know...
That's interesting.
Best possible place they could be
so
in.
So anybody Jones feels like is a threat, you know, he makes sure that they don't stick around.
Ships them over to EEI or sends them down to Virginia Beach. I don't know where I'm headed, but, you know, somewhere after that. I'll say this, doing the Jones show, it's a nice springboard. Nice springboard to other things.
That's true, it is.
Keefe went to the drive time, and Cattles, I think, is like the PD down there in Virginia Beach.
Yeah, he's doing well for himself.
Probably doing just fine down there. So, yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
Cattles is a good dude.
Have my big TED talk on what the next chapter is at some point this year. Because once you get to a year and a half, that's like red zone time.
That's when
here.
Jones is like, okay, I got to get this guy's too talented. He's a threat. I got to get rid of him.
Yeah, pretty much. We're just about there now. 617-779-0985. So the Red Sox beat the Angels. They're 5.5 games back. I said, Gasper, that if we got to September, like the first week of September. And the Red Sox were only 3 games out of the wild card, I would take them seriously because I feel like you have to. You can't just say forever, oh, it's over, it's over, it's over, and then ignore what is mounting evidence against that and just do that. Like, I don't like doing that. I don't like getting so take committed that I can't, you know, see what's right in front of me. So that was my cutoff. 3 games, or 3.5, I guess, but 3 is really, I'd feel more comfortable there. Don't like that hook. 3 games going into the first week of September. If they can get there, I will take them seriously. And I think you have to. I mean, 3 games with 3 weeks to go is certainly not insurmountable. It's not easy, but it's not insurmountable. Is there any way that you could take the Red Sox seriously again? Is there a cutoff date or number like that for you, or are you done with them?
I mean, I would say I need to see where they're at after they get back from this West Coast swing,
mm-hmm.
and after they play the 7 games against the Twins and the Yankees. because I think right now, you know, what they're doing is good. Since the 8-game losing streak, 667 baseball, I think it's 14 of 21, and they've won 10 of their last 13. But I'm also looking at this West Coast swing, Arcan. I'm looking at the pitchers they faced in the last couple of games. And it's, you know, last name was, I believe it's Jose Suarez. Was that the guy's name?
I think so. I actually didn't
And then
watch.
The game before, it was somebody named Pete Lambert.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Pete then, Lambert on the from the Rockies.
And then it was a gentleman by the name of Rico Garcia.
Yeah, Uncle Rico.
And even today, it's Dylan Peters, who I know, like, the hardcores, like McCarthy, know who Dylan Peters is, but most of us don't. So I need to see, like, a little bit better caliber of competition. If they can sustain that against, when they get back and they face the Twins and then the Yankees, if they're still, let's say they're within 3 or 4 games at that point of one mm-hmm. of the wild cards, then I'll take them seriously.
Yeah. And also, we're going to see this team without Chris Sale, and not that he's been good this year or anything, but go down the home stretch, games that they really need to win without their ace. And I know he hasn't pitched like an ace this year, and I'm not even really talking about the performance that he's given you, but he also sort of has that gamer stat, you know what I mean? He's the guy you sort of turn to. He's been your stopper for a couple of years now. I know he was hurt this time last year and that he wasn't great in the postseason by any means, but you're getting David Price back, what, tomorrow? So we'll see what he looks like.
Yeah.
Porcello's had an awful year. Rodriguez has been not really even that good either.
Yeah,
ton of run support for him. He's won 16 games.
He's been their best starter.
8 runs a game in run support. If he was getting like 6, then he's probably got, you know, a .500 record and an ERA in the 4s.
I hear you, but he's not going to win the Cy Young, Arcan. But when I look at it, I mean, he's been their best starter. And maybe that's more of a commentary on how the starting pitching has let them down.
Yeah, and Eovaldi, I thought, looked pretty good last night. So we'll see what he looks like in this game against the Twins on Thursday. Then you got the Yankees after that, and really, you're right, that's it. If they can't get through it there and whittle this wild card deficit down at all, then I'm pretty much throwing in the towel.
And also, because this is sort of their opportunity to take advantage of some of the, like, Tampa Bay, and I know Tampa Bay doesn't have one of the spots, but Tampa Bay had to play Houston. Now Tampa Bay and Cleveland are playing each other. You have the A's playing the Yankees. Like, this is sort of their opportunity, you know, coming up, I think, in the next week or so to sort of make some hay here. And so, look, if they go on to sweep the Angels and come back, and then you're playing Tuesday, September the 3rd against Minnesota, that's the start of a 3-game set. If you can play well against Minnesota or New York, because for me, when I look at the Red Sox, this sort of fits their MO the whole season, what they're doing on this West Coast or Western swing, I should call it, because they were in Colorado. They beat up on bad teams and get beat by the good teams.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing here. Now, I know in this whole stretch since the 8-game losing streak, they did take 2 out of 3 at Cleveland. But other than that, like, who have they beaten? It's Kansas City. It's the Angels. It's Baltimore. They lost 2 to Philadelphia. Then they played San Diego. Then Colorado. Then the Angels again. These are all non-contending. These are all irrelevant teams.
Yeah.
So what does it look like when you play relevant teams in games that you're claiming are relevant in September?
Every time they've won 5 or more games this year, they've done it on the backs of a series with either Baltimore or Kansas City, who's actually worse than Baltimore this year, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Or not Kansas City, sorry, Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah, Detroit.
That was the series before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And they won all those games, and it was like, oh, hey, they're turning things around. They win the first game against the Dodgers after the All-Star break, and then proceed to get smoked in the next 2 after that.
Exactly.
The other times they've won 5 in a row, it's all been because of series with Baltimore. Series of Baltimore were involved in it, either the beginning or the end of it, or right in the middle, all 3 games, whatever. This isn't the Red Sox. It's hard to take them seriously as contenders right now, but I made a promise, and I will. If they can get through this first week, and that means to September 8th, on Sunday, September 8th, if they can get through that and be 3 games back or less, then I will take them seriously. But if they don't, I'm sorry. It's impossible to. Let me ask you this, Gasper. Let's say they do make the playoffs. And forget about how far they go. Let's just say they're able to really play well this month and sneak in on that second wild card. Does that save Dave Dombrowski's job?
Ooh, that is a good question. I had not thought of it in those terms because I feel like it's such a remote chance.
Right.
But, I mean,
should it? Let me ask you this.
I don't think it should. And that's not because he hasn't done a good job. It's because I think they're preparing to turn in a different direction. At least I think they are with this team. You need to pare the payroll a little bit. You have really huge organizational decisions to make in terms of somebody like Mookie Betts. And I just don't think if you're building for the next run or a longer term run, I just don't think Dombrowski's the right guy to do that. I think he was the right guy for this run. I've called him, like, to me, he's like human Red Bull, right? You know, he gives you a jolt of
big
energy.
Short term,
short term rush.
Right, yeah.
He gives you this jolt of energy. You feel fantastic. It's all great. And then there's like the hangover effect. You crash and you've sort of, you know, and I don't think he's the long-term answer. So that would really complicate things and I think cloud things if they made it. Now you're making me root for them not to make the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I don't really think you have to worry about that, but I'm not sure that I'd want Dombrowski back anyway for the reasons you just stated, and also because you'd have to extend him this offseason. And that means putting him in charge of any Mookie Betts trade or not trade or whatever. And I sort of feel like if you want to get serious about that, about not starting over, but making the moves that, not popular ones, but the moves you're going to have to make in order to keep this team going and not getting so hung up in, you know, financials. And they already kind of are, if you think about it, with these starting pitchers who are all banged up making all this money. But, you know, a guy like Mookie Betts, that's an opportunity, I think, to really try and reset some things that are barren, which is also part of the Dave Dombrowski experience. Yeah. You don't have a farm system after 4 years. You just don't. And for some weird reason, you also don't have a bullpen after 4 years either. That's a Dave Dombrowski special. You have one when you get there. He'll build a bullpen, but then it just disintegrates.
Disintegrates.
Gets like beamed up like to the Starship Enterprise. You don't know what happened to it. That always happens with him. It's weird. But you also lose all your prospects and then in turn don't have young talent coming up through the system and you end up having to pay extra for all these guys. Mookie Betts, that thing is the biggest one. If they want to try and get something for him, which I hope they do, even though I feel like they're not going to get what they want, you have to at least go out and try and do something. And I'm not sure I want lame duck Dombrowski in charge of that. I don't think that's a good situation to be in for such an important decision this team
has. No, I mean, I would agree. I mean, I think that's the biggest decision facing the team. What do you do with Mookie Betts? You just ride it out? I mean, obviously they should take another run at signing the guy, but right. do you just, if you can't do it, do you just ride it out or do you trade him? And I would say trade him because you can't let him go for nothing. He's such a talented player. I mean, they won that game last night because of him with the two home runs, mm-hmm. but it just seems like, look, I look at it this way. It's like if the Red Sox can't make him an offer financially that he finds acceptable, then that raises a red flag to me because I know everyone says it's all about money, but the Red Sox have resources that are only matched really by the Yankees and the Dodgers. So yep. I find it hard to believe that money's the issue. I feel like there's something else driving this, which would lead me to say that he's not convinced this is where he wants to stay long term. And then if you take him out of the mix, Arkin, I look at it and say, look, JD Martinez has really surged here. He's coming on. You know, he's going to have another 30 home run, 100 RBI season. He's at 90 RBIs. If Mookie Betts isn't here and Martinez opts out, do you want to pay a DH, you know, $25 million a year? Like, does it make sense? If you're not a team that's built to be all in, win now, mm-hmm. does it make sense to pay a DH $24, $25 million a year?
Yeah, that's a good question, and the answer's probably no. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why I think there's a scenario from the perspective of John Henry and the Red Sox front office where letting Mookie Betts walk for nothing next year makes all the sense in the world. I'll tell you about that next.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
There's a drive to left field, racing back. Goodwin still back. Red Sox. Mookie in the first. Mookie in the 15th, and the Red Sox are on top.
Mookie Betts completing the dong sandwich. That's a dong in the first and a dong in the 15th. And a whole lot of baseball in between. This is Christian Arkin here alongside Chris Gasper. We take you through the afternoon, go until 2 o'clock. Then it's Matt McCarthy taking over. And then we got some college football for you after that. I believe it is Northwestern, and who's Northwestern playing? Stanford?
It's yeah, that's
Stanford.
Correct.
Yep. Bunch of nerds. All right, yep, that's coming up after that.
Nerds.
Battle of the nerds. Actually, Northwestern was, they had a pretty good program for like a few years, right? Like in the early 2000s, I feel like. But have they done anything since then? Northwestern, Ben, have they been relevant? I feel like they haven't. Maybe they have. I don't know. I don't watch college football. Anyways.
In their own like circle of nerddom.
Yeah, sure.
Relevant,
right.
But to the rest of us, no.
Ivy Leaguers out there. Anyways, I did tease this, so I'm going to get to it right now. The Red Sox, and in particular the front office here, John Henry and those people, they have a way of going about this. And it's just, I hope they don't go this way, but it's an avenue they could take. And I could absolutely see it happening. Where they keep Mookie around, they don't trade him this offseason, they don't trade him at the deadline next year, they keep him for another full season, get to the end, and then offer him, you know, a market value, okay? They offer him what he should be getting on the open market if he was to agree to a deal that was right there and not something over the top, okay? Not a Mike Trout type of deal, but maybe something more along the lines of a Machado or a, who was the other guy who signed this
year? Bryce Harper?
Or a Bryce Harper, something along those lines. Big money, not like it's small, but not quite holy crap Mike Trout money. And then he'll probably say no, and he'll take the holy crap Mike Trout money, and then he'll leave. And we won't get anything back for him. But what the Red Sox in the front office will get is the high road, right? Because they can say, hey, we tried everything. We really wanted to keep Mookie Betts. We thought it was important that we keep him. We know the fans love him. He's an MVP caliber player. We didn't want to trade him for anything, and we decided that's the way we're going to go. We're going to try and keep this guy. We did everything we possibly could, and Mookie left us high and dry.
So isn't you think that they'd make a baseball decision based on public relations?
Yeah. These guys, yeah, I do. I absolutely do.
I mean, I think that would be absolutely the wrong way to go.
But I agree with you, but I think they would do that. I think they would go that way.
I still think you can paint, you know, and I look, Mookie's not a bad guy at all, but I still think that they can try and paint him as the bad guy if they trade him. Because if you go to Mookie Betts and say, hey, we really want to work something out with you, like, what's it going to take to get this done in this offseason? And you throw big money at him. And I've thrown this out there too, Arcan, which is you give him basically the contract he wants. But you say, okay, we're going to give you the J.D. Martinez out after 2 years. So if you're not happy here or whatever, you can go back to free agency in 2 years. And if he doesn't take that deal, then it's pretty clear he doesn't want to be here. And if the thought of being traded doesn't move him at all, then you know he doesn't want to be here. Like, if you go to him and say, look, Mookie, we really want to sign you. We got to work something out. But we need some certainty here as we build our team. If we can't work something out by, whatever, in December 31st, we're going to have to look at trading you. And if Mookie's kind of unmoved by that, then to me, you can, from a public relations standpoint, if you do trade him, say, look, we did everything we could to keep this guy, and we told him we didn't want to trade him, but ultimately we couldn't come to any sort of agreement, and he seemed unmoved by the idea that we were going to move on from him and trade him, and that he wasn't going to play here.
And you get that, and I get that, and Hambone, I think, gets that. I'm not sure if he does or not. I don't think he's paying attention. But I do think...
No idea
what we're saying. I think there's a lot of Red Sox fans, young fans in particular, who aren't going to look at it that way. They're just going to see the guy who traded their favorite player, Mookie Betts, away when they didn't have to. It could have had him for one more year and then could have tried their best to re-sign him and then gone over the top and given him extra money or whatever. And it's not just young fans. A lot of Mookie Betts fans here in this city. They would not be happy about that, I don't think. Regardless, especially after a real disappointing season like this one, you know, you want to put the cherry on top of this crap Sunday and you trade Mookie Betts away, like, that's not going to sit well with a lot of people. And John Henry knows that. Everybody in that front office knows that. Sam Kennedy knows that. They all know that.
They do. I mean, look, their first choice all along has been to sign Mookie Betts.
Sure.
But it's like, you know, if you keep asking out a girl that doesn't want to go out with you, like, don't, at some point you have to move on. Like,
right.
I mean, everybody has, like, you know, a first choice or whatever, but at some point you have to sort of move on here. And if he's not, you have to sort of strip the emotion and the PR out of it and say, this is a very valuable commodity for us. And if we let him walk for nothing. Now, the other tack that they could take is they could decide, you know what, we still think we're in our championship window, even though Chris Sale's elbow seems to be a ticking time bomb.
Right.
But they could roll the dice and say, well, we'll come back next year with our roster, especially if J.D. Martinez does not opt out. And we feel like we still have the same guts of a World Series winner. Let's see if we can get another championship out of this.
Yeah.
I would respect that more than I would respect sort of what you're saying in terms of, oh, let's try and make sure we have the PR high ground here.
Well, I mean, they could also sort of weave that into it, couldn't they?
Yeah, I guess they could.
They could say all those things and know that it's just all about the PR. I mean, they could say whatever they want to. I just sort of look at it like this. Mookie Betts is a generational talent. I think we can all agree on that. An MVP caliber player and a guy that I think ultimately you'd want to keep here. But he's made it so clear that he wants to go to free agency that even if you do trade him this offseason, whoever gets him is going to know that too, right? Like, he's not going to stop and re-sign with the Royals if the Red Sox traded him to Kansas City.
Yeah.
He wouldn't re-sign with anybody after he gets traded.
I would say that narrows the market. But I do think there are teams like maybe, say, the Braves or the Nationals who
trade a lot for 1 year of Mookie Betts.
Well, because maybe they think they can re-sign him.
Maybe.
And I feel like these teams would do their due diligence. Because here's the thing, and this goes back to what I said to you before. If it's all about money, I find it hard to believe that anybody's going to offer more than the Red Sox.
Mm.
So I understand, like, we all get caught up in this idea that what's coming from Mookie's camp, he just wants to get to free agency. He just wants to get to free agency. He wants to get to free agency. Why, though? You know, we're all being told it's to maximize the money. Who's going to offer more than the Red Sox? The Dodgers? The Yankees? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. To me, if he wants to get to free agency so badly, it has to be about something more than money.
Ego.
Because there are very few teams that have the resources of the Red Sox.
Does he just want to feel, you know, does he want to test the market, not so much for the money, but just to feel, like, wanted by other teams?
Wined and always, dined.
Right. Wined and dined, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't always know. Known as the other thing. I mean, that's kind of a big risk. I mean, that's a big risk to take, you know, to say that you're going to keep going. You can get the money now.
Right.
You could also tear your ACL tomorrow.
Yeah.
And to say just to go on a couple of dinners and have somebody stroke your ego.
Have you been to Applebee's? Ridiculously good.
But it just doesn't add up to me.
Good, like, prices, too.
I mean, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. Like, no one's going to offer more money than the Red Sox. Like, I don't even think the Yankees could pay him if they wanted to because they're so indebted to Judge and the other guys they have. They have Giancarlo Stanton on the books. It's like, where would he fit?
Aren't the Red Sox, too? I mean, the Red Sox have all this money wrapped up in three guys in their starting rotation. They just re-upped Xander Bogaerts. Like, they have a lot of money tied up and not a lot of guys, too. Can they even afford it? Like, I know they could, if they wanted to, they could clear some of that out.
But Mookie's their franchise player.
Yeah, but it's, you either have the space or you don't. It's not like the NFL where you can just manipulate everything at the top of that cap.
Yeah, but there is no cap. That's the point. There's no cap space to manipulate.
No, but there's the luxury tax, and Henry's shown that that actually means something to him.
True, but for Mookie Betts, I think they would just do away with somebody else's contract. I mean, so now we're going to a different argument that would make fans really mad, which is they're going to lose Mookie Betts over money. They're going to lose Mookie Betts potentially over not wanting to pay the luxury tax. To me, that's asinine from a management standpoint.
I agree.
He's the face of your franchise. Like, if there's anybody you should pay, it's this guy. So again, I find it hard to believe from the Red Sox standpoint that they're not willing to pay him, you know, what he's worth to some degree. I feel like there's some other ulterior motive of his to get to free agency that has nothing to do with money and has more to do with the market.
Yeah.
And when I say the market, I don't mean the market for his services, the market he decides to play in and settle down in.
Yeah, that's probably true. I would love for the Red Sox to re-sign him and keep him here, but it just seems less and less likely that that's possible or even, you know, something that Mookie Betts would be interested in. If he did, he'd do it. If he wants to go and be a free agent, he's going to go be a free agent. And, you know, maybe no other team can match what the Red Sox are doing. But if one team can or if a team can go over the top of that, it sort of seems like that's where he's going to go, right? And also, we're in sort of this weird space in Major League Baseball free agency now where guys will go an entire offseason and then into the regular season without having a job. Like, you saw that with those guys I just mentioned.
Harper and Machado.
You saw that with Craig Kimbrell. You saw that with Dallas Keuchel. I mean, you saw guys go way into the season with no contract. Some of the best players in baseball and certainly top of the line free agents. So maybe Mookie's not playing this right. If you think about it from that perspective, you know, teams will call your bluff. Teams will wait you out,
right,
and then eventually you'll get paid, but it's not a sure thing.
And that's why, for me, because the new CBA, they're, you know, I think this CBA expires after the 2021 season in Major League Baseball, and so the canary in the coal mine for me is that if you offer Mookie a mega deal with the opt-out, you know, after a couple of years,
right,
and he can get back to free agency and he doesn't take that from you, then it's not about the money. It's about you, and it's about the market, and it's about him not wanting to be here. And that's why I would make that offer if I were the Red Sox, because I think then you're able to discern what his true intentions are, what his true motivations are for saying, I want to make it to free agency.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Talking Red Sox here. We'll take your Patriots calls as well. But right now, John Hambone has the headlines. Let you know who got cut from the Patriots, and then we're right back.
You're listening to Jasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
-617-779-0985 is the phone number. Gasper and Murray, minus Murray Arcan, sitting in the big chair over here. John Hambone on the headlines. Tucker Silva taking your phone calls. Let's get to those phone calls. How about? Haven't had many of those today. Let's try Mike and Woburn. Go ahead, Mike.
What's up?
Mike. Hey, Mike.
So, listen, there's a very easy way the Red Sox can end all issues with Mookie. Give him the biggest contract that in the history of baseball. Offer it to him. Make it public. Give him the Mike Trout deal. Give him whatever he wants. And then you know he doesn't want to be in this market if he turns it down. That's it. You don't need to stick Bob Holler on him. You don't need to do the whole Mookie Betts, we're driving him out of town, the slur campaign. He doesn't want to be here. It's fine. He turns down the money. It's fine. I'll accept it. If Mookie doesn't want that contract this summer, I mean, this offseason, then you trade him. And then you have no questions. Nobody in the fan base could blame the owners if he turns down the money. If they do the Larry Lucchino, John Lester, we're going to give him close to market value, and then we're going to lambaste him out of town. Right. Then they deserve to get killed. They deserve every bit of it. Make it Mookie's decision. Put it on Mookie. I love Mookie. I want to see Mookie here the rest of his career as a Red Sox. I said it before. He's the most exciting Red Sox player in my lifetime. Like anywhere he is, there you are waiting to see a highlight reel event happen. But if he doesn't want to be here, then he doesn't want to be here. Just make it so that it's not about the money and it's about Mookie.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you. I think that makes plenty of sense. The only counter I would say is that it seems like Mookie's holding out for the idea that maybe it'll be more money next year, right? Like, he's top dollar's the important thing right now. Is what it seems like for Mookie and his people,
yeah.
As opposed to staying in Boston. If it was about staying in Boston, he would have stayed in Boston.
I mean, we've sort of been led to believe that this, going to free agency is about money. But again, I mean, just do some sleuthing. Like, think about it. Let's think about it logically.
I have not been thinking about it.
If it's all about money, right, and he wants this crazy bidding war, you're basically talking about what, three teams? The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox. Like, those are the only teams that could really factor in. So
Giants?
They're not going to have enough. I mean, the Giants are not going to outbid the Red Sox for Mookie Betts. And if they do, then shame on ownership.
I mean, a team like the Angels was able to do that with Mike Trout, the biggest contract ever. The Padres were able to get Manny Machado. It's not like only these certain teams are able to pony up that kind of money. I feel like for a guy like Mookie, you might see some other teams getting
it. I hear what you're saying, but again, is there a deal out there that some team's going to present that the Red Sox can't match or can't equal? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a resources
issue. I would say probably
issue.
Not. I mean, I don't think so.
And who would be more interested in Mookie than the team that already has him as the face of their franchise?
Right.
Call me skeptical. I'm just not buying that the getting a free agency thing is all about money, because I just feel like the Red Sox have the resources that are almost unmatched in Major League Baseball, and I just feel like they'd completely open up the pocketbook for Mookie Betts.
Is he Mike Trout, though? Do you want to give him Mike Trout's contract?
That's probably a little much, but is there somebody else out there?
That's probably what he's worth, though.
Give him, I mean, what does Trout make per year? I don't even know. Was it 35?
It was a $400 million expense, something. Yeah.
You know?
I think it's like in the 36 right? range. Let me double check this, but I think that's about right.
We all look at the 400 number, right? And it's like, okay, but what are the years on? Like, what's the AAV? Because that's what really matters, is what's the average annual value of Trout's contract?
The average annual value of the extension he just signed, which kicks in next year. It's a 12-year deal worth $426 million. 36 next year, 35, 45 the year after, and for every year after that. So it's front-loaded, if you want to even put it that way.
Okay, but you said 426.5, and you said it's 12, so divided by 12, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do that quick math. Just doing this math in my head here, $35.5 million per year.
Mm-hmm.
35.5.
It's a BU education.
So,
right?
would I give Mookie $33 million a year? Yeah, I would. I pay him $33 million a year.
Maybe I would too. I would be concerned.
If you want to keep him, you're going to have to.
I'd be concerned about the length that you go.
The length.
Like, I don't know if I'd want to go 12 years with Mookie Betts, just because he has a slighter. I feel like this has been talked about, so I apologize for doing it again. But he has a slighter. He's not the same build as Mike Trout.
That's a good point.
So 12 years for him.
Yeah, 12 years is a long time. There's no question about that. Yeah, 12 years is a long time. And look, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe there is a team out there that would give him, say, a 10, 11-year deal, and the Red Sox were saying, we're only going to do, 7 or 8. Generally in sports, I think anything over 7 years is kind of a bad idea. But sometimes you have to go to the mat for these guys. And I also sort of look at it like, well, okay, early in Mookie Betts' career, he's been grossly underpaid. Not this year, because he went to arbitration, he's making $20 million. But earlier years, he's been grossly underpaid. So if you get to the last 4 or 5 years of his career and he's overpaid, kind of balances out.
Yeah, but no Red Sox front office guy is going to care about that. They're going to look at it 2020 or 2025, whatever it is say, what do we have this overpaid guy here for? Like they have with Dustin Pedroia right now, or like the Angels
price.
Have with Pujols and some other guys.
Sure, they did it for price. I just find it hard to believe that the Red Sox would not be at the front of the line when it comes to a contract for him financially. You know, and if they're not, maybe I'm wrong and they're not, and he feels like they're not going to give me what I want and I can only get that in free agency from the San Diego Padres. I don't know. But to me, that just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up. I don't think it's about the money. I haven't thought it's about the money from the beginning. I think it's about the market, and I don't think he's sold on playing here. And I know he said he loves the Red Sox and he loves Boston, but what else is he going to say in the middle of a season? Is he going to be like, yeah, I don't know if I want to play here? Like,
I mean, that's what David Price would say.
He's such a smart guy, and he's been guarded the whole time I think he's been here. He's guarded with his personnel, and he's smart enough to realize that if he says, like, yeah, I'm just not sure where I want to spend the rest of my career, that it's going to blow up and become a huge story. So what else is the guy going to say other than I love playing here and I love Boston?
Yeah, it's a good point. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. When we come back, Tracy's not here, Jim Murray's not here, but we will still have five questions with Chris Gasper, courtesy of Tracy Clements. She actually, even though she's not here today, came through with the five
questions. She's here in spirit.
She's here in spirit, and the five questions are here, and they are next.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A couple of minutes left here. In the Gasper and Arcan program, and then it's Matt McCarthy taking you up until kickoff of Stanford and Northwestern. As college football returns to 98.5 The Sports Hub. We will get to the five questions, but first we got some breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
First of all, shout-outs to Adam Kaplan, who had this first. NFL Insider, I'm looking at his, didn't know the name off top, but NFL Insider for SiriusXM, Fox Sports Radio, 95.3 WDAE, wherever that is, 95.7 The Game, other radio stations, some radio guy. Adam Kaplan, Patriots are releasing quarterback Brian Hoyer, which means Chris Gasper and Mr. Hambone. Patriots, two QBs, Jarrett Stidham, Stid the Kid, is Tom Brady's backup, and that's it. Brian Hoyer. We hardly knew. Well, actually, we knew you pretty well.
We knew
Hoyer pretty doggone well. They drafted him here. He's been here a while. He went to other places. We hardly knew, like, Duke Dawson, but we certainly knew Brian Hoyer. He is out the door. Patriots now a two-quarterback system. Gasper, initial reactions to this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by it. Again, they needed the roster spot. It's sort of a luxury. And we've been force-fed Stidham all preseason. You look what happened the last couple of games, the third one and the fourth one. And that's what I thought the fourth one. I'm not saying they made the decision based off the fourth one. They probably made it before that. But they wanted to see what it looked like with him out there with Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, Josh Gordon, sort of the A-team wide receivers. And I think they trust him. And if you trust him for that, that also means you probably trust him to come in as a backup. So it's definitely interesting. You know, hopefully Tom Brady doesn't get hurt. Nobody wants that to happen. But if it were to happen, they would throw a rookie QB in there, and it could be the difference between getting the number two seed and being a team that's playing on wild card weekend if it's, you know, 3-4 games that Brady misses.
How hard do you think Bill was trying to trade him all day today?
I think he was trying pretty hard to trade him.
I'd have to think that this is one of the top backup QBs out there on the market right now if there's a team like the Colts or some team like that looking for a veteran
The thing now, and this is where it gets a little complicated with the NFL, but, you know, Hoyer's a vested veteran. So the vested veteran guys don't have to go through waivers. If they get released, they can choose where they go. So this is, in a lot of ways, better for Hoyer. So you wonder if Hoyer's representatives were maybe saying, hey, you know, we were hoping to get released. And, you know, so I think Belichick probably tried to trade him. It didn't really work out. And now Hoyer will get to choose his next team.
Yeah. And we'll see where that is. I don't necessarily fear the Colts if the Colts pick up Brian Hoyer.
No.
I don't think that's anything. I think he might have a better shot than, what's his name, Brock Osweiler. But I'm not too concerned about that. I also feel like, what was the main thing keeping Hoyer around? Is that Tom Brady likes him?
Yeah, Brady likes him, and he's a reliable backup that you could survive with, you know, for 4 or 5 games.
But this is also a real commitment to Jarrett Stidham, I think.
I think it is, too. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, this reminds me, the last time they did something like this, I feel like it was, you know, going with Jimmy G as the backup in 2014.
Yeah. There you go. Big breaking news here. Brian Hoyer out!
See ya.
Jarrett Stidham, now your backup for Tom Brady. All right, with that out of the way, we don't have time to take calls on this. Save your calls for Matt McCarthy. In the meantime, let's get to it. It is time for five questions with Chris Gasper.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of the globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too
real quick, I just heard that Chappelle Show bit. That Chappelle special that came out, this latest one, very divisive, it looks like. I saw the beginning. I didn't see the whole thing. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but
it's called Sticks and Stones.
I've heard good things on Twitter. What have you heard?
I've heard some good things, and there's also some really tough things to sit through. Like, there's some hot takes in there. Let me just put it that way.
Right.
It's not bad. I mean, I think it's funny. I think he's hilarious, but I see why it upset a lot of people. Let me put it that way. Anyways, that's not one of the questions. These are from Tracy Clements. We'll get to him to start off here. Number one, Chris Gasper, could you go an entire week without your smartphone? A full week, could you do it?
Ooh, could I do it? Yeah, I think I could do it. I mean, I couldn't do it professionally, but if I were, like, on vacation and I just didn't have my smartphone, I mean, I think I could do it. I mean, I wouldn't be able to talk to anyone.
Well, when you're on vacation, you don't have to work. So have you ever just, like, put the thing in the bag and said, I don't need this or I'm not going to use this?
No, I mean, because, you know, I don't remember anybody's phone number or anything. But I wouldn't, I mean, that actually sounds like fun. Like, a whole week, no smartphone. I could just read a bunch of books and magazines. This might be a new vacation idea.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I don't even think I could go a couple of days. I could go like a day or two, maybe, but like that third day, I'd start itching and scratching. I need the phone.
I don't even think you could do a couple of hours. Alston Christmas, you'd be looking for somebody's cell phone in a dumpster.
It's true, I would be. I would be dumpster diving for smartphones. I can't. Here's the reason why. I don't need it all the time, but I need it for those moments where I'm waiting for the train or I'm just sitting around. I got nothing to do for a few minutes. Commercial break with Jones and I don't want to talk to him. I need the phone. I need it. I need to read something. I need to stimulate myself somehow.
Okay.
I can't just not have it.
Just bring a book or a magazine.
Book. Read books.
Okay.
Question two. With school starting this week. This past week, or this coming week, I should say. Chris Gasper, do you have a favorite memory of going back to school, specific teacher? Could be a good one or a bad one.
Oh, specific memory? I mean, mm-hmm. I loved my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Marks. He was really cool. He was a real, like, disciplinarian, but I think he brought out the best in me.
Okay.
I just think of going back to school, I just was like, oh, cool, I got a new trapper keeper this year. I mean, that's sort of like my memory. I'm like, this trapper keeper I have that's blue with, like, you know, red lasers on it is
right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Trapper keepers are cool.
Yeah.
I always liked going back to school. Like, I hated that summer was over, but I liked going back and seeing everybody. Like, I liked telling everybody what you did over the summer and, you know, seeing the girls and, like, sort of all that stuff. Like, that was always exciting to me, but that was only for, like, a day or two. It was like like Dave Dombrowski, basically. You know, the first day was great, and then after that it was like, oh, well, this sucks now. Now I have to go to class. Now we have homework. Like, this all blows. But, like, those first couple of days, you know, everybody telling you how their summer was, getting back with the crew, checking out the girl. Like, that was always fun. I always enjoyed that. Let's see. Question three. Summer's basically over.
Yes.
Did you do anything particularly fun or memorable this summer, like a trip, activity, etc.?
Yeah, so I went to the Amalfi Coast in Amsterdam. That was really cool. I'd never been to either one of those.
I thought the Amalfi Coast was in Italy.
It is. So I went to Amsterdam first.
And
the Amalfi Coast.
All right.
And so that was really cool. I definitely enjoyed both of those, Capri, Positano.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. That had sort of been on my life list. So getting to do that was fun. Bounced off that Red Sox-Yankees trip in London, went London to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Sorrento.
That's a pretty good trip.
Yeah, it was fun.
I went to a wedding in Ljubljana. Well, it wasn't in Ljubljana.
Oh,
but
really?
It was in Slovenia.
Slovenia.
And then after that, we went down to Sicily, and I've never eaten so good in my life. How about you, Hambone? What's your summer been like?
A lot of time at the mall,
yeah.
The piano store. I went to Block Island last week.
Block Island?
Yeah,
how was
that?
I love Block Island. Great. Late summer is the time to go.
Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. Hambone, feel free to chime in on these, by the way.
Sure.
You can do the five questions, too. And I always love your answers. Question four, on a scale of 1 to 10, Gasper, how strict were your parents when you were growing up?
That's a good question. Maybe like a 7.
Yeah. It's about the same with me, too.
Yeah.
They weren't over the top, but they were quick to grab, you know, take stuff away, like that sort of thing. Like,
mine were 8, at 10, like a strict
10. The strictest. And that's why you turned out the way you did.
Exactly. A well-disciplined, upright,
citizen. My mom is definitely, I mean, you can't do this now, or so I'm told, but she definitely was not above, you know, a little corporal punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. You know, in fact, she used to have this, like, ping pong paddle type thing. And
cue card?
You get, like, paddled, you know?
Nice.
You get paddled.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like a ping pong paddle or, like, one of those big wooden spoons?
It wasn't a big wooden spoon. It was, like, legitimately, like, a ping pong paddle.
A ladle.
Yeah. She had a nice forehand, I'll say that.
All right. And finally, question five.
Have you ever ordered anything from an infomercial, Chris Gasper?
No, but my wife always makes fun of me because I always, like, anytime any infomercial comes on for some gadget, I'm always, I immediately, just instinctively will go, ooh. And she's like, you want to order, like, every time, like, oh, that looks really cool. Like, I've always wanted to do it. She kind of stops me from doing it.
Do you see how it pops the dent right out of the car, honey? Pops
yeah.
a dent, see
I'm
it?
Like, that looks amazing.
I mean, look at that. That's right in the video. How could,
like,
it be?
You know, yeah, I'm a sucker for that stuff. If it weren't for her, I'd probably have, like, a whole storage unit full of stuff I bought on, you know, from infomercials and never use.
Hambone, infomercials?
Have I ever bought anything from it? No.
No, never?
No.
Even when they say, like, if you call in the next 10 minutes, you get an extra one free? An extra MyPillow for free or something?
I'm trying to think if I've ever even been tempted by anything from it. No, I don't think I have.
I'm not into infomercials, but when I go to Walgreens or CVS and I walk past that As Seen on TV yes. aisle, oh, boy, my eyes get wide.
Oh, me too.
I see things. I'm like, what? That what?
X-ray vision glasses?
A pan that nothing sticks to? What? I can't. It blows my mind.
Oh, they have these, like, what's the thing? Brett Favre? They, like, the copper whatever?
Oh yeah,
have,
the copper fit. Yeah,
they,
yeah,
they have copper fit socks at CVS?
That's right.
I'm sold. No, I feel the same way.
Tossing the pigskin around with your buddies in the mud and just in 5 minutes, you and Jerry Rice.
Yep.
That's how it goes.
Wearing the copper fit socks.
All right. Well, there we go. There's your five questions with Chris Gasper. Matt McCarthy. He's joining us. Well, he's not joining us. He's taking over the airwaves next. What's going on, McCarthy?
First and foremost, if you have a group of guys that you play, you know, touch football, flag football with, mm-hmm. and they bring Brett Favre and Jerry Rice to your weekly pickup game, those are not your friends.
Those are a-holes.
Those
right.
are real a-holes. They're right. trying to hustle you when they show up with two Hall of Famers.
Felger did that in Nantucket, right? Didn't he bring Zolak for, like, a pickup game or something?
Oh, that is
They're playing some pickup football game, and he's like, here's my friend Scott, and he brings Zolak in?
That is a douche move. By the way, so when I was in college, we used to play our rival working on the radio station. The night mm-hmm. before our big football rivalry game, we would go and we would play their radio station in a touch football game, and okay. it was always fun. One year they brought their JV team, including some guy who was wearing an actual jersey from the football team. The next, like, he was on the team.
Oh,
so we lost 65-6.
Yeah,
didn't go so high.
You got those six though.
Yeah, it was all right. It was a big deal. All right,
field goals.
Yeah, no, it was. It was pretty awesome.
Three safeties.
I feel like Zolak and Bertrand here at the end of Toucher and Rich, when you parachute in, you get this breaking news. You guys got the Dan Skipper breaking news today. I get the Brian Hoyer breaking news.
That's
Something
right.
tells me a little bit more of a talker, unless, you know, Greg Bedard yeah. wants to call in and, you talk about Dan Skipper.
You take Vulture.
We got the Gunnar Olszewski news, too.
That is a big one.
That carried us through the first hour.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
All that Gunnar talk.
That is pretty devastating. Gunnar Olszewski, who everybody loves and will forget by tomorrow, gone. That's
all right.
Devastating.
So can I just ask you quickly, McCarthy?
Yes.
I know we're eating into your time. But
you can eat into my time all you want. It's fine.
But do you still think Jakobi Meyers is going to get cut?
I don't think so at this point. But I wasn't ruling it out yesterday. I don't think he's getting cut at this point. Hoyer's gone. Olszewski's gone. They're going to carry six wide receivers, you would think, right? I think he's on the roster just based on the cuts that have been made today.
All right, very good. Patriots have two quarterbacks. Talk about it with Matt McCarthy. Brian Hoyer is out of here. So are we. Gasper, Arcand, Hambone sticking around. Gasper, pleasure as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.